Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the 23rd day of May, 2019. I'm your host, Mark Call, and I'm going to start off the show today by doing something I almost never do. And that's to say, you know what? It's kind of a slow news day. Especially if you've already had it with all the socialist, democrat, progressive coup efforts to unseat an elected president. Well, for the most part, that elected president's primary response is just to keep tweeting about, oh, woe is me, they won't let me govern. Well, meanwhile, the border invasion that he was hired to stop continues, and the traitors who've been working so diligently to destroy what was once called the Constitutional Republic, known as the United States of America, are still walking around free and are still committing treason. All of which isn't to imply I don't have some interesting stories to bring you today, but I do have to start it off with this one, because maybe, just maybe, the man who's supposed to be the chief executive of the United States is finally getting a bit disgusted with the whole mess. I've seen this reported a number of places, but I do like the Jim Hoff summary at the Gateway Pundit report. He says, Trump walked into a room with Pelosi and the scumbag Schumer, blasted them, canceled the meeting where they didn't come to talk about what was supposed to be talked about anyway, right there on the spot, and walked out. Whereupon he held an impromptu press conference. Evidently, the meeting was supposed to be about infrastructure and the president's alleged desire to do something about that before the nation completely crumbled. And as the number two socialist, Senator Dick Durbin, pointed out in a tweet, get this, quote, President Trump walked into his cabinet room and told the Democrat leaders, sick, that he had invited to discuss infrastructure, and clearly they had no intention of doing that, that the meeting was canceled. He objected, said Durbin, to the ongoing congressional investigation, regardless of the facts, I interject here, of his alleged obstruction of justice. Well, about all I can say is, gee, it sure took him long enough. Most of the rest of the country has been disgusted for about a year and a half now. But for several months at this point, since the Mueller witch hunt was revealed for nothing more than that, and it never was, we've been asking tough questions like, good grief, what's it going to take before the president and most of this country pulls its head out of wherever they've had it stuck and says, come on, you've got to be kidding me. Do we have a rule of law or not? And I think the answer is now undeniable. And to use a crude old expression that basically doesn't even cut it anymore, it's time for the president to, you know what, or get off the pot. And here's the part about this story that really bugs me, folks. The erstwhile president told reporters at his impromptu press conference, quote, I don't do cover-ups, saying again for the, 974th time, there was no collusion and no obstruction. What he should be saying, folks, is come on, it's obvious there was collusion, there was obstruction, and let's put the people who done it in jail, starting with Comey, Clapper, Brennan, Obama, Hitlery, and a whole bunch of co-conspirators. And unless he's willing to do that, the rest of us are sick and tired of watching this circus day after day after day while the nation literally goes to hell in a handbasket. At least Nero had a fiddle. Case in point, and I'm really getting tired of doing stories like this, too, except for the fact that it really does matter that we're being invaded and it's getting worse. To the point where PBS stations, for crying out loud, are even starting to report on it. The number of asylum seekers at the U.S. border with Mexico could be a lot higher than you've previously been told, says new analysis from UC San Diego and the University of Texas at Austin. This from KPBS San Diego. And tell me something we don't know. And furthermore, folks, yeah, I am getting more than sick and tired of hearing them called asylum seekers. I guarantee you that if a whole bunch of people had been telling them for months that all you have to do to get freebies in the United States is get across the border and say, Willy Wonka sent me, they'd be saying that instead. Here's another one. Gee, Palm Beach is even starting to talk about it. Their Desert Sun has a headline that says, Border Patrol is now releasing migrant families at the San Bernardino Greyhound Terminal, more than 150 miles from the border. Problem is, it tells you about the third paragraph down, that the Indio station closer to the border has been selling out of tickets, your tax dollars at work, so agents had to start transporting people further north through the remote California desert, but probably they got air-conditioned buses, and the Coachella Valley to the San Bernardino bus station, where faith leaders, it says, in the Inland Empire are mobilizing a rapid response to the situation. Yeah, said one of the migrants interviewed for the story, the coalitions made him feel welcome. And obviously you could say the same thing about the various sanctuary cities and all the murders, rapists, and muggers that have come there and been welcomed. I can't tell you how many stories like this I haven't done, folks. Yes, they're anecdotal, but there's just so darn many of them. This comes from Breitbart, and it says the sanctuary city of Prince George's County, Maryland, is defending itself after it released two illegal alien MS-13 gang members who then went out and allegedly, at least viciously, murdered a 14-year-old girl using not only a baseball bat, but a machete to boot. Oh, and here's the little hitch in the get-along, folks. Last year, the two scumbags, I'm looking, I don't see that the story calls them asylum seekers, were released from custody by Prince George's County officials after being charged with, are you sitting down, attempted first-degree murder, attempted second-degree murder, participation in gang activity, conspiracy to commit murder, and who cares about little stuff, attempted robbery. And at the time, Immigration and Customs Enforcement had requested that the two illegal alien gang members not be released back into the community, but instead be turned over to them for deportation. And now that all this unpleasantness has ensued, a Prince George's County official said, well, a detainer is not a warrant. It's a civil detainer. It's actually a request for localities to hold inmates until ICE decides whether they want to come for them or not. And following that guidance, said this arguable accessory to murder, well, Prince George's County does not notify ICE, unquote, in cases like this. In a way, you could call this, too, a related story, in the sense that one thing people aren't being told is the real cause here. And it also has to do with the fact that my body, my choice doesn't apply to anybody's body unless they want to kill a new baby within it. Ponder the irony. Says Zero Hedge, in a story entitled, erroneously, All You Need to Know About the U.S. Measles Outbreak, and here they quote all kinds of statistics from the likes of who? The so-called World Health Organization, the U.S. Centers for Deadly Contamination, and of course public health offices in places like totalitarian New York State and City, Washington, and the People's Republic of California. So you know what's coming. The United States, it begins, has recorded a whopping, 695 cases of measles in 22 states, the largest outbreak since public health officials back in 2000 lied and declared that the disease was officially eradicated, somewhat prematurely. And that was pre-invasion from the South, too. Since other, more reliable but less politically correct sources are suggesting that the problem might have to do with new strains of measles being imported by people who aren't quarantined as they once used to be, coming in mass and bringing new diseases with them. Measles only one of many, and almost certainly among the most benign at that. The outbreak has led to fines being imposed in totalitarian cities and the quarantine of over 1,000 people as the outbreak spread across Los Angeles universities, where, they don't bother to tell you, almost everybody really is vaccinated. But in fact, say the latest CDC numbers, the measles cases registered 4 months into 2019 have surpassed the number of cases from the last decade. And guess what? Yeah, I telegraphed this one, didn't I? A large source of the outbreak are foreign travelers. Now, that's about as close as they get to saying illegal invaders from the South, too. But on Monday, the CDC released the latest updated figures on the number of cases recorded so far this year, and here they claim are key facts. Yeah, take them with a big grain of salt. Public health officials, sick, blame the resurgence of measles on the spread of misinformation about vaccines. Can you believe it, folks? There are people that don't worship at the altar of the big pharma companies. And some don't drink the Kool-Aid or take the poke. And social networks, it says, have now had to resort to censorship to prevent the spread, no, not of the so-called epidemic, but of people talking about it. Can you believe it, folks? A vocal group of parents, it says, actually opposes vaccines, believing that some of the ingredients in them can cause autism. And it doesn't say it here, but a whole bunch of other stuff, too. Although it does say that in the warnings in the fine print. If you've listened here, you know about the fines being issued by the totalitarian People's Republic of de Blasio's New York City, where Achtung, my body, my choice, doesn't apply to being injected against your will, or paying huge, whopping fines if you still think you're a free person. I'm going to skip most of the rest of this because it's absolute, well, BS, folks. other than when you get down to the point where it says so-called lawmakers on the left coast from California to Oregon and Washington are considering bills to eliminate all kinds of exemptions that allowed unvaccinated children to get indoctrinated in the public cesspools. The right answer there is to say good riddance and don't put them in there anyway, because they're almost certain to catch something a lot deadlier than measles. And they've even changed the numbers when it comes to the bogus claim of so-called herd immunity. No, it's not enough, as they once said, to get 80% of a population vaccinated in order to get their desired results. Now it has to be, oh, maybe 95% of the population. Which does beg the question that the article doesn't ask, but any decent engineer or much less statistician would have to. If vaccines are so effective, and the hysterical have gotten theirs, so they're safe, why does the herd worry about having everybody else vaccinated anyway? Aren't you immune now? And I did note that the commenters among Zero Hedge's pretty well-educated audience noted, hey, how many people have died from measles? Why don't they compare the numbers to SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, adverse drug reactions, or even the flu, or even people that got the flu after being vaccinated? None of this justifies the current hysteria created by the media. Oh, of course, nor does it justify, your host notes, the censorship of those encouraging an attack of the disease of common sense in response to all of this. All right, so from there we go on to the other disgusting, and we've heard it all before, and we're still hearing it stuff. If we can't get a war started on the southern border, don't worry, it's coming to us. How about let's see if we can't pick a fight with, say, Russia, or maybe Iran. Oh, and if that fails, there's always communist China. All of which are increasingly on a war footing with the United States. My guess is we'll see them all come together at about the very same time. At which point the question about how we got here can probably be answered by the old joke about how somebody goes bankrupt. Gradually at first, and then all of a sudden. With that in mind, and since we've spent so much time over the last few days talking about war with all the other players, let's go with war on China. And not just trade war, as it turns out. There is this story, conditions are not right, says a headline from Zero Hedge, for a Trump-Xi meeting next month, according to a Chinese official. And all of this is in line with the latest narrative being pushed by Chinese communist media and party leadership, as opposed to the U.S. Communist Party and media, probably that's the same thing anymore, and their narrative. Beijing is in no rush to reconcile with the U.S., goes the story, as President Xi has already warned the Chinese people to prepare for a new Long March. And that was considered to be one of the few pieces of optimism holding the S&P 500 above critical support, and it may be crumbling. And maybe that's a good thing if you're pushing the official narrative, because given that the market was due for a major correction or even collapse, got to have somebody to blame it on, and the Fed won't do. How about Communist China? Here's a headline from Zero Hedge from mid-morning. Dow dumps 400 points below key technical support as bond yields and the dollar all plunge. Why, it's so gnarly today that even gold and silver in the much-manipulated Crimex or crooked casino markets are each up about 1%. And it's not just the trade war, which will undoubtedly cause a lot more effects at the local Walmarts than most Americans have been let in on so far. I'll start with one of the Chinese retaliatory weapons that's been discussed and maligned for a long, long time now. Given that they're a primary U.S. creditor and debt holder with over $1 trillion worth of the fiat stuff, and horror of horrors it goes, what if they decide to dump it? Who else would want it, other than the Fed, of course? From the South China Morning Post, courtesy of Zero Hedge, as American pundits and polls dismissed the idea that China would ever dare to dump its massive holdings of U.S. Treasury debt as retaliation against U.S. tariffs, a contrarian view is emerging in Beijing that the government may, they threaten, use the securities as a weapon of last resort. Well, says the Beijing mouthpiece, China's $1.12 trillion holdings account for just 5% of the massive total U.S. national debt, which means any material damage on the U.S. economy stemming directly from bond sales would be limited. But in addition, even if they did manage to cause market volatility, China's remaining holdings would also be hurt, which the Chinese might view as meaning the move is too risky. But the problem is Beijing has vowed to fight to the end, and with the U.S. preparing to place an additional 25% tariff on another $300 billion worth of Chinese imports, China may have, quote, no choice but to sell its U.S. Treasury holdings, according to some analysts and reports widely distributed on Chinese socialist media. Now, here's where the analysis has all kinds of feedback loops, folks, even though some of the first-order effects are pretty obvious. If China was to sell its bond holdings, that would devalue U.S. bonds, at least until the Fed could step in and print enough paper to buy them back. And since we know they would try to do that quietly, the effects might take a while before they're apparent to the typical CNN viewer, causing yields initially to rise, potentially sharply, says the piece. And if China then converted its dollar proceeds from the sale back into yuan, that would strengthen the Chinese currency against the dollar, perhaps significantly, all of which would raise the prices of Chinese imports for Americans by strengthening the yuan against the dollar and making Chinese imports not just more expensive because of the tariffs, but as a double whammy, more expensive for currency exchange reasons to boot. Yeah, folks, higher prices, probably a lot higher prices, not just at Walmart, but literally all over the place, up and down the line, because most Americans don't have a clue how many products, including products made from other products, end up with Chinese parts in them or sold directly from the communists overseas. Now, here's where the analysis goes all over the place. For one, the Chinese story here in their media says they've already laid out a plan for how Beijing could offload its treasury holdings by initially trying to avoid market attention, doing it quietly, and occasionally offloading U.S. treasuries, says their media. But once the markets became accustomed to such trades, aha, got them suckered in other words, China could rapidly ramp up the sales to create panic and a quick correction in the market. Now here, folks, your host has to interject. My guess is we've already seen a couple of small-scale beta tests on exactly that score, among many others, too. They get to do it and then watch what the plunge protection team does in response, for example. And because of the massive size of the U.S. Treasury market, buyers and sellers have the power to cause investment changes to snowball so as to influence market sentiment and trigger investor fear, like we're seeing today, as a matter of fact, that could spill into the broader capital markets. And that, in fact, touches as close to the real heart of the matter, according to your host anyway, as this article gets. Ultimately, if the Chinese dump a bunch of treasury holdings and make it clear that that's what they're doing, it could undermine the full faith and credit of a totally fiat system and reveal to the entire world what both us Austrian economists and Bible readers have known for a long time. Ultimately, it's nothing but monopoly money anyway, and a dollar's worth only, in terms of real stuff, what somebody's willing to trade you for it today. And that might end up rapidly being less and less, which turns out to be the triple inflation whammy of the trade war. Now, here I come, briefly at least, to the Donald's defense. He inherited an incredibly untenable and unsustainable situation, and there was no good way out to begin with. We should have stood up to the Chinese and quit gutting our U.S. industries a long time ago. The self-destructive strategy of eating our own seed corn and building the biggest debt bubble the world has ever seen has been destructive and building for decades now. We very well may be at the point at which there is simply no way out that doesn't cause one heck of a lot of pain. Which brings me to the neocon desire, continuing, of course, for war, war, and more war. They seem to think that's the solution to everything, especially economic meltdowns. And, oh, it also brings me to the second of the Chinese last resort weapons, but probably a resort before the one we've just talked about. This comes from Natural News, and it's about China's rare earth minerals and the coming export ban, which threatens to collapse the telecom industry and all kinds of so-called green power, including things like solar and wind turbines. And it goes like this. In potential retaliation against President Trump's tariffs and other trade war tactics, writes Ethan Huff, China could be on the verge of banning all rare earth mineral exports to the United States, which would immediately cripple a number of key tech industries. This is among the five nuclear options, as Zero Hedge calls it, that China currently has at its disposal to fight back, the most important of which would be this rare earths embargo, which means no more smartphones, laptop computers, solar panels, electric car batteries, or wind turbines, which use really high-powered rare earth magnets, among all kinds of other cutting-edge products. Now, we've talked about it on this show for quite a while, but as Huff points out, in case you're not aware, rare earth minerals are a necessary component in the manufacture of many high-tech products, even though most of those are in fact made by China. that people today rely on for their very survival, they put it in quotes. And since China currently supplies about 80% of those to the U.S. market, an export ban would significantly decrease the supply of those products, while, of course, say it with me, folks, would massively increase their cost, if not, in the process, creating unprecedented shortages. About the only good thing I can say here is it might put a kibosh in the 5G market, so people would have a little bit longer before their brains completely turn to mush. But for now, at least in the short term, the answer is, if you're planning on buying something high-tech, like going off-grid and getting solar panels and the like, or a wind turbine, or whatever the case may be, or any number of other things, look online to see what's going to be affected by the communist Chinese tariffs and the whole plethora of products using things like neodymium, lanthanum, and other rare earth minerals. Well, get them while you still can. They may get a lot more expensive real soon now. That brings me to this story, and actually all of this is leading in a single direction. This comes from Carly Casella via a site called Science Alert, and of course also Zero Hedge, which has aggregated it for our edification. The headline says, Scientists Expose World Killer, Booga Booga Booga, where, it says, the ozone-destroying chemicals, at least if you believe that, are coming from. Well, it begins, it's been exactly 1 year since U.S. scientists reported a mysterious surge in ozone-destroying sick chemicals, known as chlorofluorocarbons, or CFCs. They were banned, I would say, largely because Dow Chemical's patents expired, and, we have to have something else if we can't have a control of the market. But the official narrative is a bit different, and it goes like this. Banned in 1987 under the globally signed Montreal Protocol. Yeah, kind of like Paris, folks. There was only one explanation. Somewhere out there, in an unknown location, someone must have gone rogue, setting back so-called progress on the ozone hole, yeah, booga booga booga, by a decade or more. But not to worry, the New York Times has solved the problem. After much speculation, the whereabouts and magnitude of these harmful, did I say it before? Booga 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 emissions has been confirmed in scientific research. Yes, the New York Times is telling us, as they've already suggested, they seem to be coming from the northeast coast of mainland China. Now, here I pause, folks, and note, wait a minute. I can remember when they first started banning these things, and that one of the biggest imports across the Mexican border was good old-fashioned Freon for air conditioners in your car and things like refrigerator coolant and other CFCs that Big Brother America decided you peons aren't allowed to have anymore. Trouble is, all the replacements, thank you DuPont, were not as good, but were a heck of a lot more expensive. And did I mention more profitable, too? Because the generic replacements were suddenly illegal, and all kinds of places elsewhere in the world, enter the Montreal Protocol, of course, were stepping up to fill the market gap and providing continued manufacture of these things outside the DuPont and other chemical company patents for quite a while. But now, we're getting a whole different narrative. Since the Montreal Protocol was declared a success, it says, in 2013, this highly industrial region in, where? China, has continued to emit, whether accidentally or not. CFC-11, the second most abundant chlorofluorocarbon in the atmosphere, and they give us all kinds of wonderful data, but the bottom line is, here again, the evil Chinese probably deserve to be nuked back into the Stone Age so they can't keep destroying the ozone, although arguably a nuclear war might end up being worse. And the violations, it says, are going unreported in all likelihood because even though CFC-11 is illegal, so far as the international PC community is concerned, it's also one of the cheapest ways, and probably the best, too, to produce new foam insulation in things like refrigerators and buildings. Pilots and others will note that Halon, also a CFC, is probably the most effective fire suppressant and firefighting thing, which is kind of important if you're stuck in an airplane at 40,000 feet and an engine catches on fire, that mankind has. But we do, of course, let political correctness all the time stand in the way of genuine life and safety where it really matters. Okay, what's the bottom line here? Yeah, one more time. This looks like another good reason to leak information out like this and say, be afraid, be very afraid of what China might do, and that's all the better a reason to prepare for the inevitable World War III again them. As we see the fervor building towards war, in other words, look for more stories like this, both more subtle and more strident.